Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, everybody, welcome back. Welcome, 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 welcome back to Mission Accepted. You're like, what? I let him on this podcast called Mission Accepted. What could that possibly mean? Well, think about it. This podcast is a place where you're going to hear from entrepreneurs, and we have a full-on entrepreneur today. Entrepreneurs, creatives, and media. People that are kind of making their way, doing their thing, accepted the mission. Now, I know a lot of you out there have accepted many missions. If you're a parent, you accepted the mission. If you have pets, you've accepted the mission. But there's something really quite unique about taking on a mission that continues to ask you to sign back up. And that's what happens to entrepreneurs, right? We're like, okay. And so there's a constant accepting of that same mission or diverting that. And so there is so many gemstones and so much inspiration and so many cool stories out there. I wish I could do this podcast every day. I better be careful. I might manifest that. But I get to meet the coolest people. And so therefore, so do you. So Julie Jones is our guest today. And as we were going through all of the things, speaker, teacher, you know, author, facilitator, I got to hear and see this woman kind of call it out on an event that I was at where they were highlighting her and her business and her success. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to chat. So when we did, it was like, it was a lot of soul sister conversation. And, you know, something we didn't get to talk a whole lot about that I'm hoping she will talk about today is I'm like, wow, you're just a super successful entrepreneur. And, you know, we talk about that. And then she's like, yeah, she just casually goes, yeah, I was in SWAT for 12 years and now I'm really, and I was like, whoa, what? Like, let's have that conversation. But I thought better to have it on air, you know? So anyways, without going on and on and on, Julie, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I'm super excited. I mean, what a great name for a podcast, Mission Accepted. I just am really excited to be here and I've accepted the mission today to be the guest on your podcast.
Well, lucky us. Good thing it all worked, you know? So here's one of the things that I love that I've heard you say and that really caught my attention because, I mean, yes, this is for people that are, you know, kind of taking the mission, but it's people in general. It's like one of the things that you specialize in is having people design their life intentionally instead of default. And I think that's sexy, you know, because no one wants to end up going, oh, you know, it's one thing to go down a road and go, well, that may not have been the right road or the right person or the right whatever it is and make a conscious choice to go left. But sometimes we kind of hit that place. And I know that you've had a few different careers, right? And then you really feel like you landed and you're now creating more by design. And I think it's something that we can get caught up in. Sometimes we just get caught up in doing the things that we do from a mundane place without not being in pain, but maybe not being in our highest intention or our highest joy. And you're a powerful coach. So I want to kind of stop chatting, but maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. And I'd love to hear how you kind of created your life.
Holy cow. Well, how much time do we have, right? Because we could go on and on and on. So yes, I was a law enforcement officer for 10 years in the state of Wisconsin. I now live in the state of Arizona, and I've been out of that career for 21 years. But while I was in law enforcement, I was a member of the SWAT team for several years. And talk about, you know, living on the edge. And one of the greatest gifts that I received from being in that arena is the ability to make split second decisions, having effective communication, conflict resolution, all those different things that you know, play such a big role in my life today. However, the biggest lesson that it really taught me, and that's where, you know, you talk about this mission accepted, is that life is short. And I know that we say that all the time and people are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. However, being in law enforcement, I saw it all the time. Here today, gone tomorrow. Like nobody gives you a guarantee of a future. And everybody thinks they have so much time. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, right? And that's not the case. Like you have to do it now. Hence the reason for another theme of mine, stop waiting, start living. Like just putting yourself out there. So that's what I do. And when I say creating a life by design, it's the idea of stop waiting till everything is perfect and start doing what you want to do today. Like each and every day is a gift. It really truly is. And you decide how you're going to approach it. Are we going to be positive? Are we going to be negative? When something happens, is it a bad moment? Is it a bad day? It's like all these different themes play a role. And so I love being an entrepreneur now. I mean, as you said, I've had like a million zillion different things that I've done. And it's funny because I heard this quote once, being an entrepreneur is the only person who 5 to work 24/7, right? But then you are able to do the things you love to do. So I'm working the beginning of this week. And on Thursday, I leave for a girls' trip to go to Memphis for the weekend. That's creating a life by design.
I'm coming.
Come with me. It's going to be a ton of fun.
And I think that, you know, when people see entrepreneurs or they're seeing people like you're, they're like, wow, you do this, 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 and this. They don't realize it's all part of the same passion, right? Like the beautiful thing about being in that place of joy is that it spurs more creativity, which is why I wanted to make sure that in the title, I was like entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, creatives, you know, and media, because it really is a creative process. And the more you dig in, the more you find out about yourself. I think the relationship between personal development and business development is huge, right? Because you get to meet yourself. You get to make your own decisions, which is absolutely cool. But you also have that self. You either learn it, get coached to have it, grab somebody who's going to walk that process with you, which is why coaching, training, all that's so important. And I know that you know that to be true because you've had some and you are one. It's like, because when you're out there alone, kind of taking it on, you know, the power of being in a group or making that group decision. It's so important. It's so important. So, I mean, you're in training and you're in coaching. Maybe share with us kind of your experience on both sides of that.
Right. Well, and I love what you said about personal growth because it's a journey. See, I didn't get from being a law enforcement officer to, and again, I've been out of that for 21 years to all of a sudden being this speaker, coach, you know, entrepreneur. Like it was a journey, right? But it was a journey a lot of times of self-discovery. Like we have to continue to grow. People have this misconception of being stagnant. Like, you know, and there's only two things that you're doing. You're either growing or you're dying. There is no like middle ground, right? So the fact that I've done a lot of personal growth and I've discovered a lot about who I am, see, because you don't just wake up one day and you're like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is what I've always wanted to do. Now we all have a purpose and passion, yet it's like, how do we craft that? How do we hone that? How do we like really, my favorite line, live out loud, like really just be out there being yourself and doing what you were meant to do, because we all have gifts. And sometimes it takes us a while to be on a journey to figure out what those gifts are. Like I was not only in law enforcement, but you know, like I was a property manager. I was a makeup artist. Like, and I still have all these skill sets, right? Like if somebody asked me to do their makeup today, I could still do it. Like that's not a problem. But my biggest passion has always been to serve and help people. Like from little on, my parents taught me the importance of giving back and volunteering. And so from that, you know, aspect, it's like finding the different ways to be able to give back to human beings, because we all are in this journey together. Like, you know, you talked about the whole idea of group. Like yeah. When you really get down to it and you really have conversations with people, you find out that we're so much more alike than what we really think. If we just give each other the opportunity to find out
what makes that other person's world rock. And I love when you talk about creativity, because I don't even say out of the box. I say blow up the box, like blow up the box type of thinker. It's like, why even be in a darn box? Right. You know, it's like, let's go, let's run with it. Let's find your passion. Let's find your purpose. And I just get excited about that when the lights go out, you know, go off, you know, in people's eyes.
Did you ever have, like, you know, having the multiple careers that you've had, you know, which is why you're great at being an entrepreneur, because now you can take that into this and yes, creativity. Did you ever have, like, did you ever come up against yourself, or did you ever have people in your life go, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing now? Or like, did you ever have to work through that? Or when you came to that place where you finally accepted, like, I am an entrepreneur and this is what I'm going to do, or when you're writing your book, like, what did you do to come up against, you know, to counter that a little bit?
Well, yes. I mean, it's, you know, coming from a traditional family upbringing. So I was the first one to go to college, and my father, you know, God bless him, you know, he started working for a company at 25 and retired at 55, 30 years, employee mindset, you know, steady paycheck, benefits, all these kinds of things, right? My mom worked part-time, then eventually full-time. And so for me, being an entrepreneur, like, my father always looked at me like I had six heads, right? Like, what are you doing? we don't understand. Like, why are you putting yourself out there? Why don't you just be a good girl and go and get yourself a job, right? And I had the job, like, you know, but every job that I've ever really truly have, if you look at it, it was the variety. It wasn't like the standard necessarily 9 to 5. Like, I had to find things that took me out of an office setting. Probably one of the reasons why I decided to go into law enforcement was that I had the, if you want to say, authority or the vision that I could just go and, like, patrol wherever I wanted to. Nobody was telling me what to do. See, a little secret about me, I don't like to be told what to do. So hence the reason that I don't make a very good employee. Like, I, you know, cause I, you know, I want to be, you know, doing it for myself, but in that token, you have to be self-disciplined, right? Cause, like, left up to our own devices, sometimes it's like, well, maybe I'll do that today. Maybe I won't do that today. And if you want to get anything done, you really have to be self-disciplined. And I think you said something earlier that I just want to touch upon. Like, if you don't know, or you want to become an expert in it, teach it, right? So for me, throughout my entire life, it's always been, I don't have time. Like, I would be very, I guess you'd also asked me about, like, things that kind of got in my way. I would say the shiny object syndrome, like, oh, that looks good, or that looks good, right? Hence the self-discipline, but also how I talk to myself. Like, I used to refer to myself as a squirrel. And so if I kept referring to myself as a squirrel, I kept, you know, doing what a squirrels do. They find the nut, you know, they're looking all the time. Ooh, shiny object, right? So once I stopped referring to myself as a squirrel and really being more focused, more, you know, disciplined, boy, did the world open up. And I really, you know, I'm really, again, time was of essence. Like, I didn't like time. I was never had enough time. And now I teach about time. Now I coach about being more productive without losing your sanity. Because we only have so many moments that we're given. And so how do you make the most of those?
You know, as you talk, you remind me of two things. One was, I was in the holistic industry and still am a holistic woman, but I kind of brought holistics out west here. And my teacher was from India. And so, you know, I studied chakras with her and Ayurveda and aromatherapy and, you know, do weekend workshops in silence. Can you imagine? Some people were like, this is so wonderful. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm a podcast host. And then she came up to me one day and she's like, you know, this is, you know, how's it going and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And she goes, you know, you don't know it unless you can teach it. So I'm telling you now to go teach it. And I was very early on in my learning stage. And I'm like, excuse me. She's like, yeah, you're going to start running workshops. You're going to start doing this. You're going to start doing that. But it was really true, because it took you to a whole new place. So knowingness, being able to repeat that knowingness and then get people through that. It's one of the things that attracted me to you the most when I saw you being highlighted was just how poignant you were. I was like, oh, this woman is on point. And when you said that you did time management and priority management, I was like, oh, I could just sense it when I was talking to you, like, this woman's time is important. What she has to say, she feels is important. And you just come across that way. So I would agree with that very, very much. And the other thing that you said that really triggered off for me was I'm part of a mastermind. And so I was talking about this life that I was looking to create, right? This next phase of life and what it looked like. And so one of the women said, she goes, well, why don't we give that woman a name? And she's like, let's call it Gold Deb. I was like, okay, sure. That sounds good. Gold Deb. And she's like, so how does Gold Deb think? Now, when things come across your desk, now when things get brought to you, ask her, ask the person that's at that next level or is on time all the time or isn't the squirrel or whatever. When you said that, it was like, and it was a really interesting concept to think. I remember the first time I had the epiphany that I wasn't my business, that it was actually me and there was my business and we had an interpersonal relationship. But it was like, it was very interesting to ask that person. So the person that wants to be on time all the time or the person that wants to achieve, running decisions by her instead of running decisions by me, because I'm here and here is great, right? I can, you know, here is great, but I'm looking to go there. And you just reminded me of that. It was such an interesting concept. So
funny how things come back to us, right? Like sometimes during these podcasts or anything in life, like something will trigger and I'm like, holy cow, I forgot about that. So I did a personal growth class, gosh, back in 2014. And one of the exercises we had to do was get our entire class, which was about 70 some individuals, over a 6-foot wall. And I had forgotten the instrumental part that I played in doing that. And for me, that wall was such a big, you know, like trigger for me in my life, like what I've had to overcome to get over so many different obstacles. And so a gentleman that was in my class just reached out to me this week, reminded me of that exercise. And boy, it brought back all these amazing thoughts. Like, and even from that point, like I look back at my time as a law enforcement officer, and I recently posted a picture on LinkedIn from 1996, right? And I look at that and I don't even recognize the person in that picture anymore of who I've become, right? But even with this wall exercise back in 2014, I mean, almost 8 years ago, and the growth that I've had, and we're always evolving. If you're willing to take on that challenge, and it's that challenge called life. Like, you know, they always say life is a journey, not a destination, right? And so growing and moving and all these different avenues and being open to what's possible. See, it's so quick for all of us to go to what if, to a negative sense. Like we want to start that new business. And so many people say, well, what if it fails? And I'm like, what if it succeeds? Like, let's go to the positive. Let's look at what's possible for you if you, you know, go in the opposite direction of thinking, because most of us, a lot of us, I won't say all of us, but a lot of us, you know, if the way you talk to yourself sometimes, you said that to somebody else, they would be appalled at what you're saying to yourself.
Absolutely. So look, I can hear, because I think we've seen it and we're up against it a little bit. You talked about the silver bauble syndrome and that looks good and that looks good. And since we've all probably been on our phones, our computers, all these things so much more lately in this last time, and there's these new explosions of things to do and watch and learn and listen and read and attach on to. So there's a lot of positive noise out there. There's a lot of positive directions that you can go into. And you know, I work within a team and we're always like, okay, like, let's, you know, keep the main thing. And yes, learn this and you learn that. But someone from time, priority, and organizing management, just for our mental stuff, our work stuff, and whatever is so needed, is there a few tips or tricks of the trade or things that you can share? Because there is a lot of noise out there. There's, you know, 75,000 new podcasts a year. There's all sorts of stuff going on, which is incredible creativity. But it can also be tiring for the person that's not, you know, dancing the right dance, I guess.
Absolutely. So let me give you a couple of quick tips that, and again, it's been a journey. And do I have this down pat? Absolutely not. You know, I'm a work in progress as well. So one of the things that I always talk about is that as much as human beings, and especially as women, we want to be told that we can multitask, we are not designed for multitasking. And here's why. Anytime that you are working on something specific and you're attempting to do something else, like so many times we're on our phones distracted during a meeting. Well, now you've either missed what's on your phone, you've missed what's in the meeting. And every time you have to refocus back into what was the priority at hand, it takes the brain on average about 10 minutes to refocus in. Like, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and people know when you're talking to them that you're distracted doing something else? They say something and you're like, what did you just say? And then, you know, they know you weren't paying attention, right? But like when I'm coaching or speaking or anything and I allow myself to be distracted, it takes me so much time to get back into the moment. So really when you're focused in on something, focus in. And on that note, if you haven't read the book, I think it's an amazing book called The One Thing by Gary Keller. He was the founder of Keller, you know, Keller Williams, right? And he talks about this concept that for a lot of us, like, what is your big goal? What is like your big dream? What is the one thing in 2022 that you really want to accomplish? And then every time you're doing a specific task or activity, just simply ask yourself, is it taking me towards that or is it taking me away from that? And you will start to eliminate a lot of non-priority items because you will realize how many things that you're doing that don't take you to that specific goal. And finally, when it does come to like these big items, we all have those big ticket items. Like for me this year, okay, I did publish a book last year and it went to international bestseller, which I'm really excited about. However, this year I have an even bigger goal to get a book on the New York bestsellers list, right? And the more I put it out there, the more I'm like, okay, people are gonna hold me accountable to that, right? And with that having a big goal, like I set aside 15 minutes a day, just 15 minutes. I'm not talking hours on end. Because when you block off this huge amount of time, a lot of times, like we get distracted in so many different ways and interrupted in a number of ways. 15 minutes, eliminate all distractions. Turn off your phone, put it on do not disturb. Don't even look at it. You know, anything that dings or, you know, bings at you, turn it off. Just put your head down and work for those 15 minutes. And then when you get done, I always say you got to celebrate. You don't quantify or qualify what you did get done. You celebrate that you took action for yourself and that big dream, right? Then if you never get to it, but you've got those 15 minute increments each and every day, you know, if you do it 7 days a week, that's, you know, an hour and 45 minutes of time that you got into that big ticket item versus setting up 4 hours each and every day and never getting to it. Because when you're committed to something and then you don't follow through, it chips away at our self-esteem.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I think that I've said it many times, it's the moments, not the hours that'll shift your business. It was something that I'd learned from a really very cool friend of mine who is a CEO. And I used to watch them make 3, 4, or 5 phone calls in 10 minutes as they needed to leave. And I was like, wow, I always was making more time for the small things and then not scheduled enough time for the big things. And I'm doing the same thing, just getting up 15 minutes earlier to read a book that has been sitting on my desk for 4 years. And I'm like, when are you going to read that book? Because I kept reading other books and it was great, but this one kept screaming at me until it finally jumped off my table and smacked me in the face one day and said, when are you going to read me? And I literally used that technique that you're talking about the 15 minutes. And it's so powerful, isn't it? I mean, I think when you said, you really caught my attention when you said you had to make split second decisions, you know, when you were in the forces, like your decisions were split second. And that's such a gift and ability to do. That's so incredible because a lot of times it is about speed. You know, it is about utilizing the moment because it can be pretty powerful.
Well, to your point about books, right? And I think when we're ready to learn, to receive, you know, we always say then the teacher will appear, right? And so for years, I've been told about the book To Think and Grow Rich. And like I may have listened to it by audio, and I'm part of now a book club that we're dissecting the book. And oh my gosh, I'm at the point in my life that I know that I'm supposed to be dissecting the book and reading it and incorporating it, because it's really speaking to me. I'm not sure that at any other point in my life I would have read it, but I don't know if I would have really absorbed how I'm absorbing. But one of the things that he talks about in the book to be a great leader is to make those immediate decisions. Mm-hmm. Great leaders make, and great business owners and anyone, you make immediate decisions. And then you don't look back, right? Like hindsight's 20/20. When you make that decision in that moment, it's with the best information that you had at that point, and then you move forward and you see what happens. But you know, being on the fence is one of the most painful places for people to be. It's like, just make a decision, you know, whether you think it's going to be right or wrong. It's like, even if it turns out to be in your mind what you think is wrong, it was a learning experience. You learned something from that, and then you just continue to move forward.
And that's where I really feel like I want to highlight continually the fact that, you know, one of your strongest assets is coaching and training, because there's many times, even for ourselves, we've been in business for a long time, me and you, you get to that place. And I have people that are trusted, you know, people like, how did you get where you got? I'm like, paid a lot for coaching and coaching, therapy, counselors, what do you want? You know, dive it up. But those people that you can call, run your indecision past, get a couple of pieces of professional information, but still yet ultimately make the decision and then let it be what it is. So that's the beautiful thing about having someone alongside you, is when you come up to indecision, which if you are growing, you will. It's a guarantee. I love it. It's like Brene Brown. She's like, you know, if you are a creative and you have made, you know, putting yourself out there a virtue, you will get your butt kicked. That's just part of the deal, right? So you got to hang out with those kind of people. Before we kind of end off, I want to hear more about a little bit. Tell us about the book that you've already produced. Congratulations on the international status. That's a huge status. I also know a New York bestseller that you could probably have a great conversation with. So let's chat later. She's amazing. I've interviewed her before, and you know, we've spent some time together. She's got incredible stories. But tell us about the book that you put to market already.
Well, it's funny because, again, you know, when we have this journey of life, right, and these self-doubts come up and how we can distract ourselves. So like with the 15 minutes, you know, like even writing this, you know, my previous book, which is called Stop Waiting, Start Living. And it's self-sabotage, right? Because like I would find that I had the cleanest refrigerator ever, because like, you know, I knew I had to work on writing my book, and I would be like, oh, I think that refrigerator really needs to be cleaned at this point, right? Because there was part of me that was fearful, like, does anybody really want to, you know or hear what I have to say? Do they really want to read the book? I mean, and for so many people, books these days, you know, they do become somewhat of like a calling card. You know, like if you are a speaker, a lot of times having a book will get you on a stage faster than not having a book. So I surrounded myself with amazing, like-minded authors. It happened to be all women. There were seven of us that collaborated on this book. But what I really wanted to do with the book is that I made it a journal handbook. So everybody wrote a chapter. And then at the end of each chapter are questions that are designed for you to take inspired action. So not just reading and getting motivated and excited and I'm going to do it. No, you're actually going to put it down on paper, because what you write down, you know, has a tendency to, you know, play out more, so that you can really digest what the book has to offer to inspire you to start living the life that you desire and to start living out your dreams. So, and the funny thing is that, you know, I have a lot of male support. I have a lot of male clients in my life as well that purchased the book, and I've gotten great feedback from both men and women. So even though it was all women authors, it doesn't matter. It's not a book designed strictly for, it's designed for everyone. Really, truly, when you want to start, again, and it's short. I like that it's short, to the point. Like, none of us have a lot of time. Remember, we talked, yeah, we started this whole thing about, you know, don't have a lot of time. Read it, digest it, and start taking action.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm sure you're going to tell us where we can get that. But before we do, just kind of as we're closing up here, are you letting us in a little bit on this new New York bestseller? Is there anything you can tell or share, or shall we bring you back before it? Well, we'll bring you back anyways.
Yes, you'll have to bring me back because I have a lot of different things that I really want to share that's on my heart. So I'm still doing a little research on, because, you know, like a New York bestseller, right? 5,000 to 10,000 copies in 1 week. So it's going to have to be, you know, something that really speaks to people. But I know that I have that within me because I speak to people. So
absolutely.
I'm excited.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to kind of wrap up here. I'm just going to ask you kind of a final question. And, you know, in life, we get surprised. In life, we make risks and challenges. We take the mission on. And sometimes it's drudgery, sometimes it's exhaustion, sometimes it's exhilaration, sometimes it's happiness and joy. And then there's those times when you're like, this would have never happened to me. I would never be having this moment if it wasn't for that I accepted the mission, took the risk. When I ask you, like, what was one of your most incredible surprises from being this entrepreneur? What comes to mind?
It's the idea of what in life, what happens for us, not to us. I think that those are the biggest things. I've had a lot of challenges in my life that have taken me to this point. You read about some of them in the book, but just briefly, you know, like my mom passed away at the age of 59, you know, 18 years ago. My dad passed away about 2.5 years ago. So to be in that place now of not having your parents has really given me a different set of glasses to look at things through. And really, again, you know, I don't like to beat a dead horse, but it's the biggest thing that comes to me. And now at my age, and I'm proud to say my age, I'm 53.5, right? Is a lot of people in my life starting to pass away. And everybody, again, thinking that, you know, all this time that you have, and you really don't, because nobody has the idea of, like, when they're on their deathbed, the regrets of what they did do, it's the regrets of what they didn't do, right? And so those messages come to me so loud and clear. Like when I talk to people, I just get so fired up, and like people can tell my passion. And it's like, sometimes I come from a very direct place. But I love people and I have a loving heart. It's like, what are you waiting for? And I think that that's what happened for me. Like when my mom passed, you know, and you're kind of fumbling around, then my dad passed. I'm like, what am I waiting for? Like really, it was my dad's death that just, you know, because I had been speaking and coaching in some capacity for 15 years. And then I really put myself out there. And, you know, it was my dad's belief in, like, what were you always doing? Then he's gone. And so, like, now there's part of me that's like, okay, Dad, do you get it now? Like, do you see who I've become? Because I'm extremely, you know, successful, and I'm proud of that. And I think there was part of me that is just a little disappointed that I couldn't do it while my dad was still alive, but I know that he's watching over me. So,
well, that's powerful. Look, where can people contact you? They want to get the book. They want to have you come onto their stage. If they want to find out more about what you're doing, inquire about your services. Where can they find you, honey?
The easiest way is really to go to my website, and that's juliejones.biz, B-I-Z. Of course, I'm on LinkedIn. I say I'm the one and only Julie Jones. But it's, you know, The Adventures of Julie Jones is the actual business name. So I'm on Facebook as Adventures of Julie Jones, Instagram on Adventures of Julie Jones. Trust me, you will be able to find me anywhere that you look. And here's what I love to do is I just love to have conversations. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, right? Like I have a unique way of looking at things. In fact, I'm known as a googly-eyed wearer, I know that for those people on podcasts aren't going to be able to see it, but for those of you viewing it, this is my, yes, if you could see, I have a pair of googly-eyed glasses on, and this is my trademark. People know me because it always brings a smile and it always brings a laugh. See, you know, like life, it doesn't have to be that serious. So find me juliejones.biz and let's have a conversation, because I love to see how I can support you in living your best life.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. I also want to express, if you feel you are an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur, a creative, or a media person, and you have something to share that's going to inspire, motivate, or educate, then I invite you to give me a call. There's lots of things that we're doing over here at Mission Accepted, including books, much like Julie talked about. There's a book for 262 of us. There's a lot of production going on here and supporting the entrepreneurial mind and business success. So please just reach out to me and we can have a chat about that. Big heartfelt thanks. Thank you so much. I learned things. I'm sure you did as well. And we will bring you back right before, well, for your launch, and then we're going to bring you back as a New York bestseller.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today. I'm super excited.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.